hopefully real soon. He's in Texas. He's in Texas getting ready for the Weird Al show that's happening there. Jim Kimo West, he's recognized as one of the world's top slack key guitarists, and he brings his own unique musical perspective and great acoustic guitar traditions. He got the 2021 Grammy Award winner for his CD, More Guitar Stories, and 2019 Grammy nominee for Moku Malahea, Peaceful Island. He's also a winner of the 2008 Hawaii Music Awards, three-time Nahoku Hano Hano Grammys, and also, not the Grammys, that's the Hawaiian Grammys they say, but you know, we know what Nahoku Hano Hano Award is. And also got LA Treasures Award for his contributions of the perpetuation of slack key. And he's doing a lot of work while he's on the road. And I just love, I really love what he's been up to as far as creating fascinating ways to market himself. I have to say he's been very, very, very brilliant at doing this. So I'm just telling him to call now because he's supposed to call now. He may be somewhere in a hurricane. I don't know. Call now. hopefully. Yeah, hopefully that went out there. So because what he's been doing is interesting combinations. He has a new submission that's happening for this year's Grammy, which is beautiful. Oh, there he is. I see your light lighting up. Hey, Kimo, how are you?
Aloha, Cindy.
Aloha, my friend. How are you doing?
Well, I'm hanging in there. I've been on the road for 5 months, so I'm feeling a little toasty.
It's a long time on the road, but I have to say, Kimo, you have been making it a fascinating journey by sharing your pictures. And I love seeing how you make the time. You know, and I know a lot of musicians hit the road and they check into the hotel, they crash, they do their gig, and then they just hang out and leave. But you've been actually exploring the entire, everywhere you're going, with beautiful cities, with lovely times where you sometimes do bike rides and you wander around and take lovely pictures. So you've been making it a visual tour of the cities you're visiting as well.
Well, I try to. I mean, I like getting out and doing things, and you know, and sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes you just have to go to your room. Like today, you know, we had an unusual day. It was like a 12-hour drive overnight, and so today I didn't really feel like doing too much. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a Weird Al bus that you're taking?
We have a couple of tour buses. They're like the custom buses that they use on rock and roll tours, and one is for the band and one is for the crew. So we travel on those. And then there's also a big tractor trailer that carries all the equipment and stuff.
Amazing. It's quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a small tour compared to, you know, some of the big tours have, you know, 40 buses, you know, and 35 trucks and things like that.
Well, I wouldn't want to be on one of those tours that are planning to play in Florida tonight or tomorrow, but...
Yeah, I feel sorry for those folks. Yeah, that's going to be some canceled shows, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of canceled everything there. But I mean, I love what you do, and of course, you've been... between being very busy doing this long tour, you've actually been doing a lot of wonderful things, and I was so excited to see... You get your new one, Lani Hula, submitted for Regional Roots again. And that's a wonderful thing. And you've done a little different twist on what you usually do on this new album, haven't you?
Yeah, well, this album is a collaboration, you know, with my friend Leo Connie Pryor, who's a great Leo Ki, a.k.a., you know, Hawaiian falsetto vocalist. And we've been friends for many years, and we just decided to do an album together, and it was a lot of fun. And Leo Kani, of course, lived in Hana for many years, and every time I'd be in Hana, I would be out, you know, they would play at the Hana Ranch, the hotel, or the Paniolo Bar.
Really?
And so whenever I was in town, I'd go and play with Leo Kani and CJ Helakahi and those guys, you know. But now Leo Kani's moved back to Santa Barbara, so he's a little closer. So we were able to work on this record together pretty easily.
I love that. I really do. You know, you've also been busy doing some other collaborations and some other things. You also had time to do some, over the last couple of years, some soundtracks. I think you were in a couple of movies, right?
Yeah, a couple of different things. Well, also there's a movie, Weird Al, of course, who I'm touring with, has a movie coming out on November 4th on the Roku channel, and that's I did play guitar on that movie.
Ooh.
And that's going to be good. I've actually seen the movie. It's very hilarious. And Daniel Radcliffe, who plays, from Harry Potter, is playing Al. And it's a completely crazy story of life story of Al. Of course, it's, they say everything is true, but it's it's pretty hilarious.
I imagine he had to do a wig on that one, right?
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
I mean, but, it's got to be funny. I mean, because, we all still think of, I was just actually talking about Daniel Radcliffe this morning to someone who said, we were talking about the fact that you work hard, so hard doing your things you like. He said, someone asked Daniel Radcliffe, what was the best part of doing the Harry Potter series? And he says, because of Harry Potter, I can do now whatever I want to do. And so isn't
That's
this cool?
Because he's been doing, theater productions. It's just, an actor, they like to do things that are really artistically fulfilling. And I guess when he was presented with this offer to play Al, he thought that would be a lot of fun. And he really... from what they say, he really throws himself into it 100%, when he takes on something. And he did a really great job on this film.
I have to ask you, because everyone knows that you can make usually more money doing movies than you can doing CDs and albums all your life. And that's what I've heard. Do you agree with that? Have you found that to be true?
Well, I used to work as a composer for film and TV, and it was pretty lucrative when I was real busy. But it's it's not the most fulfilling business in a lot of ways, because you're sort of creating something, under somebody else's direction, mm-hmm. So it's sort of a work for hire. It's like,
yeah.
It's like you're being hired to make a table for somebody or something like that. It's, it is fulfilling in some ways, but it is, it's not what you would choose to do yourself,
yeah. Yeah, that's a good
point. So that's, that's one part of it. And also the business has changed quite a bit from when I was doing it. I think it's become a lot more competitive now. But I enjoy it. Every so often I get a chance to do something that's fun, like maybe a documentary or something like that. And I still enjoy it, but I just don't want to really be in the, in that sort of ball game, because it's, and you sort of just have to be around all the time in case the phone rings, because if you don't pick up the phone, then they'll call somebody else,
Yeah, and it's really hard if you're on tour to go jumping
in.
You can't go leaving tour to do that.
I've had conflicts in the past, and it's very tricky.
So when you do a soundtrack for Weird Al's movie, do you get to write that music yourself, or how is that directed, and how are you able
to... No, there was actually a composer hired. Actually, Al was had pitched me as the composer, but the director had somebody that he had worked with for a long time. I forget who it is, actually. So that person did the actual score. Now, all the parts in the movie where the band is playing and all that stuff, that's all... us, the band, playing all those parts, As far as the score goes, there's an actual another composer who's doing some of that music.
I see.
But all the parts where it's actually the band playing, we've played it. We, went to the studio and recorded all those sections.
And do you get to show up in the movie? Are you actually playing yourself in the movie when they show the band? Are you in that?
No, there's actually an actor playing me in the movie.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is kind of strange to watch somebody being me in the movie. Very unusual.
I can't wait to see who plays you.
Yeah, well, it's a guy named Jack Lancaster. I didn't even know, when Al was doing the movie, I didn't even ask him if the band was going to be in there. I thought, well, maybe if they're in there, maybe there'd just be some shadowy figures in the back or something, but... I was on Facebook one day, and I saw this post that I guess this actor, Jack, his mom had posted and tagged me in it and said, oh, it's really, I'm so proud of Jack because he got the role to play Jim Kimmel West in the Weird Al movie. And I was like, what? So I immediately looked him up to see who he was, you know.
Does he look like you?
Well, he kind of, you know, there are some pictures of me from, you know, this really takes place in the early days of Weird Al. The movie takes place back in the 80s. That's sort of the time frame. And, you know, there are definitely some pictures I've seen of myself where it would definitely, you know, look very similar. He's got kind of curly hair, and he does play guitar, and he's actually a guitar player.
I can't wait. So that's going to happen out, you said in November. That's not too far away.
November 4th, yeah.
Wow.
It already premiered at the Toronto Film Festival, and it won the People's Choice Award.
Oh, good.
It's been getting a lot of buzz. And, so November 4th on, you know, it's coming out on a streaming network as opposed to, like, in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Roku is the network, but we did get to see it on a day off. We had like a little screening and got to watch it, and it was very, very funny.
I think it must have been a thrill. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
yeah, it was good.
It's just another way of expanding your audience, which you always have to do. But I have to say that I saw, because I've signed up for your newsletter. I get your newsletter, and there's certain newsletters, truthfully, and there's during Grammy season. You get a lot of newsletters,
a lot of, yeah.
But a lot of them, I hate to say, but I delete a lot of them pretty quickly. But I never delete yours. I always enjoy reading yours. No, I love yours because, well, you know what? You put some interesting creativity into the way you do it. You usually include a nice little video, something interesting that you're doing that people can do. You usually have some interesting facts and stories that you include, sometimes about your road trips and what you're on and what's been happening on the road, inside stuff, which is always fun.
Yeah.
And in this last one, I noticed you've started, in the last couple ones, you've started some talk story series, which I thought was brilliant idea to tell stories behind each tune. And you have a thing called Kimmel's Corner that you started, which I thought, this is really,
yeah,
really good idea.
Yeah, it's just an idea that it's in its sort of infancy right now, but I'm getting all kinds of great ideas. So basically, it's a subscription service. So, you know, if people subscribe. Right now, it's just there's a kind of a special where I think it's like $49.95 or something for the year. But essentially, people get their own, you know, discount on all the merchandise, like CDs and stuff at the store. But there's just, you know, every month there'll be a performance and an interview, and there'll be there's a vault on there that has a lot of unreleased material, you know, stuff, all kinds of stuff, including stuff I've done for film and TV and then videos, you know, like, for example, from the road, like behind the scenes videos, and, you know, just stuff that I don't normally put out there to the general public. So it's just stuff that's just available to the subscribers. So it's, and I'm getting a lot of great ideas for new things to add to it. So every month there'll be like a bunch of things added to it.
I think it's a very good idea. So, but I mean, it's almost like you're doing another job for yourself, right?
Yeah. No, it's fun. It's given me a lot of ideas. You know, there's so many things you can do with something like that, and it's just, like I say, it's just for the subscribers. So they get, you know, I'll be doing, for example, a holiday live stream show, you know, and of course, if they're a subscriber, then they get that as part of it, and, you know, there's different things like that.
Now, you know, the Beatles used to do that.
Did they really?
Yeah, the Beatles had a club, and
they had a fan club.
They had a fan club, and at Christmas, all the people in their fan club get a special message and a little story and a song and everything from the Beatles. And it was it was massively popular. And I think some of the recordings from it, of course, I think they even in the beginning sent out special records and things. And of course, now those are worth quite a bit of money and everything.
Oh, I bet.
The radio stations back then would get that. The radio stations would get the special Christmas messages from the Beatles. So,
How cool.
Yeah, very cool. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about your life on the road. You've been, tell us, I know, remember when you did Canada and you had some COVID challenges in Canada that were I remember that.
It's been, well, you know, we're in the fifth month now, so it's a lot's happened. But overall it's been going very well. I mean, the shows are almost all sold out and the audiences are great. Now, early on, you know, Al got COVID and then sure enough, 3 days later, I got it. And when Al got it, we actually had to cancel about 4 shows.
Oh, ouch. Yeah.
Yeah, and which is very expensive. And then, you know, when I got it, they decided that I could still play the show, but I would be playing from off stage, like in a dressing room, you know, backstage. So they had me all set up back there with my guitars and my microphone and everything, and so I would play from backstage.
Wait, but did you have the house mix and your headphones or something, or how did you know what's going on?
Well, we use in-ear monitors. They're like these custom molded, you know, they're like molded like you would hearing aids, but it's wireless.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I hear the mix. We have a guy on stage, a monitor engineer, who creates the mix, and it's programmed for every song, so you get whatever mix you want on each song. So, you know, it was pretty much the same as being on stage, you know, sound-wise. Of course, I couldn't see anything, but some of the venues, they would have a video screen on the wall where I could sort of see the stage, you know, from the audience perspective. But it was fine, you know. It wasn't any big deal. I was able to do the shows just fine from off stage.
Well, kind of during COVID, there were people that did shows like that, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I mean, in Canada, our keyboard player got COVID, and what we decided, he wasn't, according to the rules up there, he wasn't able to play off stage, so we just played like 4 or 5 shows without him, you know, just did songs where we didn't need the keyboard so much.
Yeah.
And then at some point, the drummer got it, and then he had a guy that filled in for him who knew the show really well, and so he had basically a substitute guy for like 5 shows.
That would be kind of a nightmare to figure out booking too, because sometimes you might have to stay in a hotel room longer than the rest of the group, so it'd mean you'd have to have extra days, and then you'd have to...
Yeah, it was a workout for our tour manager, Melissa. She's amazing, but she, you know, her whole job is about putting out fires and trying to figure out solutions. I mean, just actually on the way here, the crew bus broke down.
Oh, no.
So the crew all loaded up onto our bus for the last hour and a half or two.
So how many people did you have on one bus?
Well, normally on our bus there's only 6. But then we had for the last, actually it was on the previous run, there's like 9 crew members. So we've had, they all had to sort of be in the front part of the bus. And then they had to fly here. In fact, I don't even think they're in yet. I think they get in at 7:30. So they had to fly here because the replacement bus is coming tomorrow. And there's always, you know, problems like that.
So,
and right now, because of, there's so many bands on the road right now that the tour buses are very hard to come by.
Huh.
And also the one, when they break, they're having a hard time getting parts, you know, because of the sort of supply chain issues, you know. So it's very, you know, I've heard of bands. In fact, I was just talking to somebody who's on, Lyle Lovett tour, and he said that one of the, you know, they have a big band, like a you know, horns.
Yeah.
And so they had two buses for the band, and one of them broke down, and they couldn't get a bus for 2 weeks, and they had to just drive around in vans and stuff.
it, You know, it's been a few years of learning to be flexible and to be able to deal with whatever comes up at whatever time. And that's not easy, but it's an interesting practice of dealing with what you have to deal with it when stuff is coming at you from left and right and center. And you
that's why I have so much respect for our tour manager, because every day it's, you know, she's having to deal with some crazy issue and, you know, and, that's what they do, and figure out the solutions and, you know, keep calm the whole time, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And is you're playing tonight at where? Are you in Houston or where are you?
Actually, we have the night off tonight. I was wrong. I said we were playing tonight. We're in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, Lubbock. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we're playing tomorrow, and then we'll be doing 3 or 4 other dates in Texas.
I think it's Beer Drinkers Day today or tomorrow. Today is National Beer Drinkers Day. So love it. Seems like a good place to do that, right? aren't there stories where bands go up on stage on play and everyone throws beer bottles at them?
I know. I think probably. So. I don't know.
You're in the heart of country there. You're in the heart of the country.
Yeah, this is our first Texas date of the tour, so. We have Austin, Houston, Dallas, Austin. I'm not sure where else, but I know those three for sure.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, Austin's going to be fun because it's famous, of course. I don't know how much Austin City Limits had to play a role in that, but Austin has become world famous for having great music, you know.
And, well, we're playing there's a venue called Austin City Limits now. It's quite a nice venue. That's where we'll be playing in Austin.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I remember it. It's very, very nice. Very nice place.
So you know, during this time, I want to get back to the fact that you made a point, where most people don't, of going out and enjoying it. So what has been some highlights of you seeing the cities as a person, not just as a band member, but going out and enjoying the city? Because it seems like it's added another whole dimension to your travels.
Yeah, I've been doing that for the last few tours. I've been, you know, I like to get out. I carry a folding bike with me, and you know, in some cities, it's just not feasible to ride the bike. Some places are not very bike friendly, or it's, you know, or the weather is too hot. We did go through a spell where there was a lot of really harsh heat, and you don't really want to ride. But I, you know, some of my highlights, I think, were, you know, the Pacific Northwest is always lovely and you know, bike friendly. You know, in Seattle, for example, I took my bike on the ferry and went over to Bainbridge Island and rode around the island, you know. And then Vancouver, the city of Vancouver is amazing for bikes. You can just go anywhere, and it's just incredible. Excuse me, but I tend to try and find places that are bike-friendly because I don't want to be biking down a big highway that's not used to cyclists.
No.
You know? So I try and be careful where where I ride, you know. Some places I'd look around and I go, no, this is not the place, you know.
Yeah, so you have the whole Grammy thing going on and a campaign, of course, for that. And on top of that, you have what's going on with your tour. You carry with you how many guitars when you're on the road?
I think on this tour I have 6.
Wow, that's a lot. Are you kidding, Kimo? That's a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, it's you know, I have my main guitar, and then I have to have a backup for that one, you know, in case something happens. I always have that one as a backup, and then the other ones are all for specific usages. One's tuned lower, and I use that on a couple songs, and you know, a couple of different acoustics and different tunings, and you know, so they're all necessary. It's not like I'm just carrying them around because I want to have a lot of guitars, but these are all actually necessary. You know.
So what's your go-to guitar when you're in your hotel room?
Well, I carry one of my Taylor acoustics with me on the bus, and that just is my hotel room guitar. You know, I use that. That's something I use personally. You know, and I'll bring it into the venue, especially if we're going to be sitting around for a while and be able to practice and that kind of stuff. But the other guitars are all on the, you know, the crew takes care of all that, all that other gear, you know, that's loaded and unloaded every night and put away and put into the truck and all that stuff.
When are you coming back to Maui?
Well, after the tour's over, I'm actually going to Kauai for a couple of weeks. But I do have a show booked at Uncle George's Slacky Show on January 25th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I haven't booked my trip yet, but I will be on Maui around that time. I'll probably spend, you know, a week or so before or after, or maybe both. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do.
Yeah, so, basically late January.
Oh, that's right before the Grammys. I think the Grammys are February 5th this year. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that's going to be back in Los Angeles this year. So that'll be...
Yeah, and then shortly after that, I'll be going on a European tour with Weird Al. We're going to play Europe and also Australia, New Zealand.
Wow.
So doing not an extensively long tour, more like, you know, maybe 5 or 6 weeks or at the most, probably, maybe less. So I'll be moving around a little bit.
Well, New Zealand, have you been to New Zealand before?
Yeah, quite a few times, yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Well, we've toured Australia maybe 3 or 4 times, and we've played in New Zealand. I also have friends and actually relatives in New Zealand as well, so I sometimes when the tour would finish in Australia, then I would extend my trip and go to New Zealand for a little while. So,
how nice.
Yeah, I've been there, 3 or 4 times. I just love it, you know.
Wow, and it's got to be changing now. There's a lot of these countries that are now, of course, over the COVID restrictions. It makes it easier for touring,
yeah,
et cetera. So, mm-hmm. and it's good that you get at least a couple of weeks off in Kauai because, you know, it's part of your soul. Yeah, well, part of your soul relates very much in your music. You can tell through your wonderful albums how you love the peace and lovely music, and it's part of you. So it's so great to be able to come back.
Yeah,
to...
usually when I go to Kauai, I just I just go for relaxation. But I do end up usually playing music, but I don't really book any shows. I don't want to have any responsibilities. So I usually end up going and playing with my friends, different places, and just for fun.
Yeah, there's some cool. You know, Al Thomas. Back the island.
Alan Thomas, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a very good friend of mine, yeah.
Yeah, he does beautiful music over there. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing. We've been friends for, more than 20 years now. We've co-written songs together, I've played on some of his albums, and, he's a great, great songwriter and
yes,
producer.
Yes, he is.
Fantastic,
yeah. Well, I want to thank you because you were kind enough to play guitar on a song called Believe, which is out now on
yes.
Rise Together. Rupam Sarma has it out mm-hmm. on his children's album, and Anthony Fluke sang on that, and there were some other children from upcountry who sang on that as well up at
Yeah, Rama it School. Came out really nice. I mean, I think I only heard the mix recently, and it just sounded fantastic. Sounds really good. You guys did an amazing job.
Well, I'm really happy. It was, you're so busy, and it was so kind of you to take the time to be a part of that because it was nice to have. I have 3 songs on there, and the other one has Marty Dread on it, and then there's another mm-hmm. one I have with a Smithfield, a Virginia chorus of 35 children, and it's just it came out really well. I was really happy with the whole album. So, it's we all have our things we do, and it's part of like the music family. It's so nice to see when people can get together and create some stuff that's really uplifting. And I know your music always is, I have to say, Jim, your music is always beautiful. I love listening to it. People can
Well,
people really should check out your website because you really have updated and you have a fantastic website.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's coming along.
What's your website?
The website is very simple, just jim@jimkimowest.com, jimkimowest.com. It's pretty easy to find. I'm pretty pretty easy to find in, social media and then Spotify and Pandora and all that stuff.
Well, thank
Apple
you.
Apple Music.
you're up there. I thank you for taking your time from your busy schedule to call in.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime, Cindy. I'm glad. I really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you when I'm there in January.
Absolutely. Always have a standing invitation.
Play some tunes on the radio live. Well,
I would love that. I would love that. Okay, keep the aloha going.
All right. Well, we'll definitely do that, and I'll see you in January.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha.
And let's hear from our wonderful sponsors. I Love Ron Guess and PWC.